Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
If you've been tuned in for the last 2 programs, I think you'll agree that this matter of forbearance without anxiety is not a small thing. And if you miss these programs, well, then you'll want to stay with us today because I guarantee you this program has something for you. And Francis Ball has joined us to participate in the fellowship and demonstrate forbearance. Francis, welcome to the program.
Well, that's a very good aim to have.
Right.
But we'll see. Amen.
Francis, this word forbearance in Greek is composed of 2 different words, and combining these words, the meaning of the term in Greek could be translated literally this way, extensively reasonable or fully reasonable. Based on this kind of analysis of the Greek word, our spiritual experience and God's activity in His economy, plus the Lord's living on earth, I think we can realize that to have adequate forbearance really means that we also have to have many other virtues as well. It seems that forbearance is the all-inclusive virtue. Maybe you can talk a little bit about this all-inclusive aspect.
Well, I believe this term really includes all the other virtues that we would like to have in our living. Patience, love, kindness, mercy, righteousness, peace, all the things that we expect to receive from the Lord are included in this wonderful virtue called forbearance.
Well, Francis, let's join Witness Lee for this life study message. He spoke this in 1981, and I love the example he's going to open with here concerning a father and his forbearance with a son who has done something wrong. Let's join Witness Lee.
I'd like to fellowship with you a little bit further. This word forbearance, not only based upon the definition of the Greek word, but also according to our experiences. We have to realize to have the adequate forbearance, it needs a lot of other virtues. In other words, forbearance is an all-inclusive virtue. It includes so many other virtues. What is forbearance? Forbearance is one of your children did something wrong, and you saw it. Don't right away rebuke him, spank him, while you are mad. Ephesians 6 says, don't provoke your children. When you will be mad, don't do anything, don't say anything. Go back to your study room and kneel down and pray. Lord, take away my madness. Otherwise, I couldn't do anything with my children. Don't do anything until your madness is gone. Then you have to exercise your understanding why he made a mistake. Then after you understand the situation, you have to exercise your wisdom to find out, is right now the time for me to say a word to the wrong boy? Or I have to wait till another time. The next day, maybe in the evening. You see, this is wisdom. You need to stop yourself from your madness. You need to exercise your understanding. You need to exercise your wisdom. You also need a lot of patience. Now I come to the church. Now I understand why in 1 Timothy 3:3, Paul says, elders, be forbearing. If the elders in the church do not have adequate forbearance, this church could never be built up. To build up a church with hundreds of different characters, and especially today in the new man among us, not only with different characters, but with different races, nationalities, backgrounds, cultures, educations, my goodness, the others need a lot of forbearance. I believe we now can understand the most prevailing virtue is our forbearance. Not only the elders need this, we all need this. You need forbearance. And forbearance includes understanding, wisdom, sympathy, certain amount of consideration, and love, mercy, kindness, and grace. This is forbearance.
Francis, listening to this, this requirement for forbearance is a tall order, isn't it?
Certainly is. My.
I did like the definition here, particularly the example that he gave regarding a father with the children. Being a father, I can relate to this, and I know you can as well. I'd like to read this verse he referred to in 1 Timothy 3:3, because it's appropriate to ask you about this, particularly in your situation as both an elder and a father. And the verse applies, I think, on both points, although it's particularly directed right to the elders. From the Amplified Bible, it says to the elders in a local church, "Not given to wine, not combative, but gentle and considerate. Not quarrelsome, but forbearing and peaceable." Francis, how about this definition of forbearance?
Yes, I've noticed that verse in 1 Timothy, and I realize that this is a tall order. Actually, for our fallen condition, that's an impossible thing, to be gentle and considerate and never quarrelsome and always forbearing, peaceable.
Right.
That's marvelous, and we love to see it, and we'd love to be it. And I'm so happy for what this book of Philippians has opened up to us about the experience of Christ. Because without this experience, who has all these or any of these virtues?
Right.
They all come by the enjoyment of Christ as our life, learning to live Christ, to participate in Him, to know His infusing of His very character and nature into us. I'm so happy that this has opened up at this point, because certainly every one of us have to acknowledge that at least to some degree we have failed in exercising our forbearance and all the virtues that are included in that marvelous word. But it is true that unless we learn how to stop ourselves, he used the illustration of madness when you're going to discipline a child.
Right.
I've certainly experienced that, and I have failed. I have disciplined when I should have waited. I should have done what he said, gone to my room,
yeah,
got on my knees and prayed until the madness was gone. And then you can have a certain amount of wisdom as to the time, as to the way, as to the understanding with patience and all the other things that are needed in order to really help a child who's been disobedient. And the same is true in functioning as an elder in a local church, how much we need this kind of virtue, this all-inclusive virtue. I think this is the best definition I have ever heard and the best examples I've heard of what this means, to be able to be forbearing, to be able to be patient, to be understanding. Oh, my, these are things that only the Lord has adequate supply of, and we have to call on Him constantly. I know many times if I'm listening to some sister or brother about certain complaints or something, to just listen without making any comment, and waiting until the whole story is out, it takes more than we have in ourselves.
That's right.
But this is forbearance. And surely, and we'll see, I think, later on in this message, how forbearing the Lord is. So we need Him. We need Him to be our life. We need Him to be all our virtues, our patience, our understanding, our wisdom. All of the things that are necessary for the building up of a church must be exercised by exercising forbearance.
You know, Francis, Paul begins early in this book with this phrase we spent a long time on, "For to me to live is Christ." And he concludes the book with this phrase, "Let your forbearance be known." There's a much greater connection between these two bookend phrases than I think at first glance one would think, isn't there?
There certainly is. A real necessity to learn to live Christ in order to have this virtue.
You mentioned the example that the Bible brings us regarding the Lord's living as being one full of forbearance. Actually, this next section is going to be very interesting. Not just the Lord Jesus in the pattern He set when He was living His human life on earth, but even God Himself in the way He has dealt with man is going to be examined in this light in this section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Let us come to see what forbearance God has exercised in His economy. Right after man's fall, God's forbearance began. After the fall of Adam, God came in. I would ask you all to read Genesis 3 again with the view of forbearance. God did exercise his understanding, and he fully understood what man needed. And he should exercise his wisdom. You pick up this principle, you apply it from the first story of the Bible to the last one. From Genesis to Revelation, you could see all the way in God's accomplishment of his eternal purpose to carry out his economy, what is there? Forbearance. He exercised his forbearance with much understanding, with much wisdom, with much mercy, kindness, love, grace, and with much rich supply of life. Even the supply of life is included in forbearance. God never charged us to do anything without the consideration of our need. He considers what we need, and he supplies. And this kind of way to supply is included in the forbearance. God let his forbearance be known to all of us. Let your forbearance be known to all men. God did it first. God did set up a good example, a good pattern. God made his forbearance known to all men through all the generation. In what way? In the way of reasonableness, suitableness, considerateness. God never spanked you and me once without proper consideration. We all know this. A lot of times I got spanked. Not right way I made a mistake. God even waited for years. God is really a forbearing God. Full of understanding, full of wisdom, full of consideration, full of sympathy, full of mercy, full of kindness, full of love, full of life supply. This is forbearance.
What a wonderful way to look at the Bible in this matter of forbearance, to see it even in God's dealing with us himself. That's tremendous, isn't it, Francis?
It really is. It's marvelous how this particular virtue just includes everything that God is.
Yeah, it struck me listening there to his accounting all of what God has demonstrated toward man. Without God's forbearance, there would be no such thing as the gospel, would there?
That's right. Actually, this is the gospel. I am afraid some preaching of the gospel, so-called gospel, is all based on fear and dread, and afraid that we're going to end up in hell or in the lake of fire, eternal punishment, perdition. All these things are too much in the forefront. Of course, we need to be warned that God is righteous. He's holy. It's just of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed.
Right.
I think we have to realize the gospel is really the forbearance of God in action. And so God has really been forbearing, excessively reasonable. He really has gone all out, so to speak, to meet our need. And I could identify with what Brother Lee said about being spanked by the Lord, but sometimes it's a long time after your wrongdoing before it's ever brought to attention. But he knows how to do things in a proper time, a proper way. He's been forbearing with man ever since the fall and all through the years. I think every one of us could recognize that God has really exercised forbearance, reasonableness. He is righteous, yes, but he's also forbearing for our need and our condition, supplying us with everything that we need. And mostly what we need is the supply of the divine life.
That, as a parent, was a very penetrating word when he spoke that. Anytime God presents us with a demand in his consideration, out of his forbearance, he's also considered the supply, hasn't he?
Right.
And I was thinking back to how many times I've dealt with my children, only on the demand side, without much consideration to the supply.
I guess every father has had that experience if he's disciplined his children at all.
Well, Francis, this is a word that has a lot of light attached to it. I don't know. I think you and I are both feeling the same kind of light and exposure going on. And I trust most of our listeners are in the same situation today. In this final section today, we want to see a couple of practical examples, a couple of words particularly, that will help even bring this matter of forbearance into a clearer focus. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, here is a point that is not so easy for us to catch. Don't think to let your forbearance be known to all men is a simple thing, or is an easy thing. No, 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 no. Forbearance needs to grow. Even physically speaking, the more you grow up, the more forbearance you have. It needs maturity. Then, from 4-5, Paul goes on to the end, the last part of chapter 4. He said, I am content, and I have learned the secret to be content. Only one who is going to forbear. Firstly, this dear one must be satisfied. You yourself first must have the contentment.
Right.
If you don't have the contentment of life in your life, you could never forbear. So you can see to have the proper forbearance needs maturity in life and needs the satisfying life of Christ. You have the maturity and you have the contentment. You are not so childish. You are not so hungry. You are not so empty. You are a matured person. Maybe you say, you are not fully mature. Thank God, anyhow, you are mature. Comparatively speaking, you are not so childish. You are mature to some extent. And in your maturity, you do enjoy the contentment of the Lord's life. So you have the contentment and you have the satisfaction. Then it is easy for you to exercise your forbearance. I must say this, when the elders are matured and content, it will be easy for them to exercise their forbearance in the church, in the house of God. When the father, you see, is matured and content, it is easy for this father to exercise forbearance in his family. You must realize when you live such a life full of forbearance, that will be the time you will have no anxiety. If you don't have forbearance, be sure you are full of anxiety.
Francis, I really like this point that we have to be content and satisfied ourselves by enjoying the Lord's life first. And if we're in that condition, then it's not so overwhelming to be experiencing this forbearance. But apart from the enjoyment and contentment with Christ himself and in enjoying his life, this matter of forbearance is just unreachable, isn't it?
That's right. It certainly shows that we need to have a life of prayer, a life of staying in the Lord's presence, of practicing to turn to him in all kinds of situations, and enjoying him. This brings contentment. This brings satisfaction. And anything short of this only results in anxiety. It's so easy to get anxious over the smallest little thing when we don't enjoy the Lord's presence. We don't enjoy his supply to us. But when we enjoy the supply that he gives us, the forbearance that we enjoy from him and can be exercised in us, this is not that big a problem. But to try to be forbearing and to try to be patient and to try to be long-suffering are pretty useless in our self-effort. But by the enjoyment of Christ himself, by knowing that God himself is the very reality of forbearance, we realize we can enjoy him in the Word, in fellowship, in prayer, in being intimate with the Lord. Then forbearance is a result or the fruit of that kind of enjoyment. So I feel like we have the choice. Either we learn forbearance in this kind of experiential way, subjective way, or we'll be full of anxiety, always disturbed, not only with others, but with ourselves. So for the building up of the church, this is the all-inclusive virtue or attribute of God, worked into our virtues for him to be expressed.
It's hard to make a doctrine out of these points, isn't it, about letting our forbearance be made known and to be in all things without anxiety. It's quite interesting how the Bible and the Apostle Paul connected these two things, these sort of opposite ends of the human experience in one way of looking at it.
Yeah, he certainly has done a marvelous job to bring these two things to light, because this is our experience.
Right. Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.